104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Come inside, there behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass, move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or short, don't get your money's worth. With this show, it happened, hell, and you gotta see the show. It's a dynamo, you gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on the University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I want to say thank you very, very much for listening in today. Today is Saturday, April 14th, and I haven't been on the air for the last 2 weeks because the University of Guadalajara took the Easter holidays and then fall or spring break. And so I am so happy to be back on the air this week. I don't like vacations. I'll tell you what, I've always kind of been a workaholic, and I love doing this radio show. It's so much fun, and I get to meet so many interesting people. And I want to say thank you very much to the president of the university, Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, for allowing me to have this show every Saturday morning so I can explain what's going on here at the University of Guadalajara to everybody, and try and get the English-speaking community, as well as the Spanish-speaking, the French-speaking, the Italian-speaking. I like to get everybody involved in all the really, really great things we're doing here at the University of Guadalajara. You know, back in March, we had the huge 18th International Film Festival, showed about 45 movies in about a 10-day period, and with a lot of other events, work classes, workshops, parties. It was just a great, great time. And again, I want to thank everybody here at the University of Guadalajara, all the faculty, all the staff, all the volunteers, all the students, of course, which makes it possible to do this thing. The logistics of moving 45 different projectors and cameras and movie screens all over the Bay of Banderas is really, really tough. Plus setting up all the chairs and the tables and serving the food. There was just so much goes into that, and behind the scenes, people just don't understand. But I want to say thank you. It was a great, great success. I think the numbers were larger than they've ever been. We had many, many overpacked houses. Had to turn people away at some of the venues. We just didn't have enough seats. But next year, they've announced it now. Next year, the country of honor is going to be Chile. So we're going to have some Latina taste next year. It's going to be South American country, Chile. They're going to be bringing producers, directors, movie stars, films, of course, from that country. And it should be a really, really exciting event. I'm already kind of starting to work on it right now, trying to find sponsors. So if you're a corporation out there or a restaurant or a hotel and you want to get involved in the International Film Festival, I'll be knocking at your door, or contact me, because we're really, really excited about it. There's a lot of stuff going on here at the university. We have started back our Wednesday and Friday films or movies. They're at 1 o'clock every Wednesday and Friday at the main auditorium. I went to the one on Wednesday. We had two, it was a concert movie with Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was really, really a lot of fun to watch those old retro bands playing. And then we started the movies back on Fridays at 1 o'clock also. And so for the next 2 or 3 weeks, you'll be able to go through and watch movies here in our air-conditioned main auditorium every Wednesday and Friday at 1 o'clock. Hey, I want to mention something coming up next Saturday. If you have kids in the house or you're a science freak or you like drones, we're going to have a Science Saturday starting next Saturday at 10 a.m. here at the main campus, and we're going to be doing it in the main auditorium. Dr. Giovici Lupit is going to help us out, and it's going to be all about drones, the technology behind them, what they're used for, how they were developed, how they were engineered, how they work, the science part of it. So if you're into drones at all, or if you want to learn more about science and how they affect, they're using drones in some unbelievable ways. And come next Saturday, you'll be able to have a great time. It's catered for the kids from ages about 3 years old up to about 18. But I go to many of these Science Saturdays, and I learn an awful lot about things, excuse me, and how they work, be it the swamps or the marshlands here in Mexico, be it different kinds of reptiles or different kinds of insects. But this one's going to be all about drones, and I think it's a lot of fun, very, very educational. And so that's going to be next Saturday here on campus at 10 a.m. We have some other things coming up here. We've got a big, big engineering conference. We have a conference going to be here, I believe, on the 27th, all about medical marijuana. So be sure to go to the university website and check that out. You'll be able to find out all the different current events going on here at the university. And you can go to the website and look at it. It is www.cuc.udg.mx. Again, www.cuc.udg.mx. I want to say thank you very much to Hector. He's in there behind the controls today. If it wasn't for him, the knobs wouldn't be turned on, and it'd be a mess back there. But he's here, and I want to say thank you to him for turning everything on so we can speak this morning. I want to let you know, if you want to contact me, if you're a very interesting person, a very important person, if you have something you want to talk about, like the interviews you're going to be hearing me play today, you can do so by contacting me at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Again, 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. I like to talk to you. I like to send you back emails. And if you have an interesting event coming up, such as the one I attended yesterday, I want to congratulate Kelly Trainer and all of the folks at the United States Consulate Agency. Also, all the different representatives from the United States government, the Mexican government, and the Canadian government. If you missed it, we've been talking a lot about this on my show and in all the newspapers. They had the first annual info fair, information fair, yesterday over at Paradise Village in the main room. And there were about 500 attendees, most of them expats. But there are about 25 or 26 tables set up. Everything municipality here in the Bay of Banderas, from the traffic police to the visa people, the passport folks, the firemen, the rescue people, a lot of different organizations. And, of course, the United States had Social Security there. They had benefits. There was DEEF. There's, like I said, 23 or 4 different tables. The University of Guadalajara had a small table there. We were talking about the SWAM program, which is, of course, the senior citizens education program that we have every semester. I'll talk more about that later on, but there are about, like I said, 24 or 25 different tables set up. I think there was over 500 people came to the forum. It was free and open to the public. So if you missed it, I think we're going to try and do another one probably in November of next, well, this year, November, next time the snowbirds are all down. Like I said, I want to congratulate Kelly Traynor, our American consulate agent, because she and her staff, I can't forget her great working staff, put this together. But there were a lot of different opportunities to get really, really great information about a lot of different things that would help you in your daily life. So anyway, I want to say congratulations to her about that. Also want to mention right now to put down on your calendar on May 6th, Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. over at the Marriott by the marina, there's going to be the 14th International Altruism Fair. It's a festival where there's 20 different charities invited. They come in and give out all the information that you'd like to know about each and every charity, how you can help, how you can be involved, all the great work that they do. And it ranges everything from children's orphanages to the football team, a lot of different charitable organizations, nonprofits here in the Bay of Banderas will be representative, and they'll have people there. There's also going to be a lot of great food. There's going to be a lot of good music. There's going to be raffles. It's just a really, really fun social event. It's right outside on the Bay of Banderas. Beautiful, beautiful location there at the Marriott. And we want to say thank you very much to them for allowing us to hold this event. So go ahead and mark your calendars. Sunday, May 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. And next week and the week after that, I will be having interviews from the different organizations and charitable groups that are going to be participating in this year's Altruism Festival. So be sure to listen in the next couple of weeks and find out more information about these great, great groups that we love to support. And they do such a great, great job helping people here in the Bay of Banderas. So anyway, I just want to say thank you very much again to the listening audience for tuning in every Saturday morning. If you're doing it by radio or if you're doing it via the internet, I'm glad you're listening. I hope you're going to enjoy the show today. I've got a couple of special, timely interviews, and then I got a couple other that are just kind of, interesting. Some people I've had the opportunity to meet over the holiday, and, one's a very, very special man and woman that it's just going to touch your heart. We're going to play that here in just a minute, but we're going to play some music and get into the interview. So be sure to go get your pencils and papers so you can write down all the information you're going to need today. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on the University of Guadalajara Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
The Good Morning Wake-Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Swept away, I'm stolen. but you'll never have my heart. Let the sky fall, when it crumbles, we will stand tall, we'll face it all. Together, let the sky fall, when it crumbles, we will stand tall.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan. I want to set up this next interview a little bit. It's a little bit hard to hear, and I apologize for that. But a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a gentleman, Mr. Dick Markey, at the Puerto Vallarta Marina, and he was telling me about a very inspirational man and lady, Augie and Laura Nino. And Augie is infected with ALS, which is better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It is a terrible, terrible disease or symptoms that almost paralyze your complete body. And I had the great opportunity to meet Augie and his wife, Laura, here in Puerto Vallarta. They live in Southern California, but they come down here on their yacht several times a year and spend time down here in the Bay of Banderas because, like a lot of us, they just love it down here. The weather is so nice and the people are so friendly. But Augie is a paraplegic. He's in a complete wheelchair. It reminded me a lot of talking to someone like Stephen Hawking, the great scientist. Stephen Hawking passed away a couple of weeks ago, and he, of course, if you've ever seen pictures of him, he was confined to a wheelchair, and Augie is also. He's a paraplegic. He can't move his arms or his legs, facial expressions, of course, but this man is thinking at 1,000 miles an hour, just like Stephen Hawking was. You can just see his eyes moving and his brain moving, and through the greatness of science, he is in a very, very modern computerized wheelchair type that, and he can talk to you. I mean, he can't verbally visit with you, but he has a mouse down by his right foot, and he can move the mouse around with his toes, and it brings up the words on a computer screen, what he's saying, what he's spelling out. And so I wanted to talk to this man because him and his wife, Augie, was a world class fitness person. He started a lot of the what we call life fitness centers all around the world. He developed many of the mechanical devices that we use to stay physically fit. And in the prime of his life at 47, he was attacked with ALS and has unfortunately taken his body motions away from him. But he has done, and his wife and his team, there's a whole lot of people involved in this. Augie has written a book called Augie's Quest, which is a very, very inspirational book. There's also a movie called Augie that I challenge you to go to YouTube or whatever website you can and find this film and watch it. I'm doing everything in my power to get it here at the film festival next year, and also hopefully show it here on campus to the students once or twice. But this interview, I sent the questions to Augie, then he downloaded them into his computer and then answered them via computer. So the sound's not quite as perfect as I wish it would be. But Augie and his wife and his crew have raised over $45 million. That's $145 million and more money for the fight against ALS and this terrible, terrible disease. They're working very, very hard on getting the FDA to approve some different drugs. And if you'll listen at the end of the conversation, Laura talks a little bit, his wife, his lovely Channing wife, about the different ways you can contact them and how you can send money to ALS research. And let's cure this crazy, crazy disease. You know, we do a lot of things in this world and spend billions and billions of dollars on crazy stuff. Let's give some of our good money to help fight terrible diseases such as cancer, ALS, breast cancer, things like that. So anyway, I'm going to play Augie's interview, him and his wife, Laura. And please write down the information, the contact stuff, so you can get a hold of them. And I highly encourage you to get the book. You can do that on Amazon and several other places, Augie's Quest. So we're going to play that interview. Again, I apologize for the sound. It's a little bit difficult, but I'll tell you what. He's all there, and his heart is bigger than Dallas. So thank you very much for listening in. Enjoy this interview, and then we're going to play some more music and have a couple other interviews. So we'll be playing the interview, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. Once again, I want to thank you for listening in today. We have a very interesting interview, one of my VIP, very important, and very interesting people. We actually have two. We're very blessed today to have Augie and his lovely wife, Lynn. Nito? Am I pronouncing that correct?
It's the president of your country.
Well, the president of my country is Donald Trump, but the president of my wife's country and everybody that lives down here in Mexico is Enrique Peña Nieto, at least for another 4 or 5 months. Then they get a new one.
Exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and just let Augie and yourself give a short bio and talk about the different questions I've presented to him. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Is it already cut and paste? Oh, it is. Okay. It's not the whole thing all at once. So go and just
That'll be
all
great.
Of his answers. And
okay. Is there a microphone or a speaker where it comes out?
It comes out over here.
Okay.
So
as long as it's close enough.
It's for radio interview with Mr. and Mrs. Augie Nieto. One equal short bio of Lynn and Augie. Both of our bios can be found on our website. https://augiesquest.org/augi-m-tem/ 2 equal life before ALS. Life after ALS. Before ALS, I had just sold my business, and we were traveling the world and enjoying our kids. I was serving on several corporate boards to keep busy, but was enjoying our life. I was all about exercise and fitness, and lived a very active lifestyle. After ALS, I chose to focus all my energy on finding a cure for ALS. The science world didn't run like a business, so I looked at changing that. I founded Augie's Quest to Cure ALS, and became the chairman of the board for the ALS Therapy Development Institute. 3 equal what is ALS? ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is commonly referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease in the United States. It's a disease of nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord that control voluntary muscle movement. 4 equal book and movie, just a little about each. Our friend Mitch Album helped us find a publisher for both books I wrote. One is called Augie's Quest, One Man's Journey from Success to Significance, I co-wrote with T.R. Pearson. The second book is called Reciprocity. I interviewed 30 CEOs and business leaders to discuss the successful integration of commerce and compassion. Both books are available on Amazon. We just launched the movie on all digital platforms including iTunes in March, and we're seeing pretty good sales. I had the privilege of working with James Keach and Eric Carlson to share an intimate view of what our lives are like with ALS and our quest to find a cure for ALS. 5 equal updates on ALS research. I serve as the chairman of the board of the ALS Therapy Development Institute. We have the world's foremost drug discovery center focused solely on ALS. Our innovative and cutting-edge approach have resulted in the identification of AT-1501, a promising treatment for ALS that should be in human trials within the next couple of months. We also pioneered the ALS Precision Medicine Program, the world's premier program in partnership with ALS patients to discover additional potential treatments. It's never been a more exciting or hopeful time for ALS research. 6 equal how can people help? People can help by participating in an event for Autis Quest or donating to AUGIESQUEST.org, buying or renting our movie, Augie, and sharing our story on their social media channels. 7 equal contact info. My contact info is augianieto@aol.com, or you can reach out to my team at augiesquest@als.net. 8 equal closing equal whatever else you would like to say. Thank you for sharing the need to find a treatment for ALS. ALS is not incurable, simply underfunded.
Recording by Augie. And this is an amazing gentleman and his wife, Lynn. I'm very blessed and honored to be able to sit and talk to him today here on their yacht here in Port of the Arte. They're kind of on vacation, but yet they're working. And Augie works all the time from what I understand. Thank you for taking the time to answer my questions. I'm going to ask Lynn a couple of things, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And first, very, very active in the fitness industry. When he was a young man, and I actually saw a picture, I think, with him and Arnold Schwarzenegger together, and many of the fitness gurus. I guess he was one of them. And how old was he when he was diagnosed and got ALS?
We were diagnosed when he was 47.
Okay.
And we are blessed to have just had his 60th birthday party. We had his 50th birthday party down here in Puerto Vallarta. Back in the days where I don't think anybody thought he was going to live any length of time. So the celebration of his 60th was just an amazing gift to me and to our family and friends.
Well, I turned 64 in July, so we're right at the same age. And the president of the university, Marco Cortez, we're right all here, right together. So we enjoy the same music, the same history. You know, we're kind of in the same groove. And a movie out called Augie's Quest.
No, just Augie.
Augie is the name of the book.
A-U-G-I-E, yeah.
And we're really looking forward. I tried to get everything gelled together for this year's International Film Festival, but it just didn't. But next year, we will have it here in March, and we would really be honored to be able to show the movie. If you all are here in March, we'd love to have you come. Matter of fact, we could probably work with the Puerto Vallarta Paradise Village Marina to show the movie a couple of movies we've shown in the last year or two we've shown here at the marina. And so we could probably work that out. And if you're here, we'd love to have you as our guest of honor. So we'll work on that. We still got about 11 months to go on that one. But that would be great. Augie was raised in the United States.
California.
And are you also, your mother said we're from Oklahoma, but...
No, we were high school sweethearts.
Oh, really?
Yes, but we've only been married 23 years.
Oh, only.
So, yeah. So, he was my first boyfriend.
Wow!
And it's kind of chronicled a little bit in the documentary. And we came back together about 24 years ago and we both married our college sweethearts and then married our high school sweethearts.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
That's a great love story. We just had a movie this year. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ramon Carlin. He was known as the Weekend Sailor. And he took his young son at 16 years of age away from Puerto Vallarta and Mexico about 40 years ago because his son was in love with a young Mexican girl and they wanted some space. So they had a small yacht and they flew to Europe. And long story short, he entered a regatta. Him, his son, his wife, and their two nephews. And they had to hire some more crew, and they had to buy a boat, which they did. They bought the Scylla 2, sailed in the very first round-the-world regatta, and they won. All odds were against them, but they won the regatta. It's now known as the Volvo Regatta, which is, I guess, second involved in the world underneath the World Cup. But anyway, he was here last month for the film festival, and we brought the boat, and Senor Ramon died, but this was a love story also. It was a love story about a man for his family, the love of sailing, and the love of his country, Mexico. So, I like to have love stories on the Good Morning Wake Up Show, and I thank you for your time. Tell us about the research. I know you all have done an awful lot of fundraising for research. The University of Guadalajara has a large medical college. Is there anything that we can do to help, or is there anything the general public can do? And if someone here that's listening today would like to do something, how can they get involved?
So we fund Augie's Quest as a fundraising arm of the ALS Therapy Development Institute in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay.
We're the world's largest ALS-focused, not-for-profit, and all we are looking for is a treatment and a cure. So we're not straight research. We are looking for something to help people today with a disease that kills most in 2 to 5 years. If you wanted to get involved, if you go to Augie's Quest, so A-U-G-I-E-S quest.org, that's where you can find us. We have raised over $65 million to date over the last 13 years. Augie is the chairman of the Institute, and under his leadership, we've raised over $110 million.
Wow.
We have a drug, AT-1501, that will go into clinical, in phase one clinical trials this month and be in people with ALS in phase two trials by Q3 of this year. Unprecedented, it's never been done before that a not-for-profit that's gotten a drug this far along. We are kind of, we're not stalling. Augie's said, pretend like we have the money and move as if. So we're hoping that the release of the movie will bring awareness and other factors to get people involved to get us over this hoop. But we'll keep going until we do.
Well, I want to say, again, it was an honor to be here today to get to meet Augie and yourself. And anything I can do or the University of Guadalajara, please let us know and we'll try. Mm-hmm. And anything in closing?
Just thank you for helping us bring awareness. Puerto Vallarta has been our vacation home for the last 20 years. It's part of our lives. It's one of the few places that Augie gets on a plane to go to anymore. So it is really special, and we do feel a connection with Puerto Vallarta. And thank you for just having us today.
Well, you're one of the couples, and there's many, many people, expats, that come down here and make living here so much more special, not just for themselves, but for the people they meet, for the people they help down here. And you and Augie have done an amazing job, not just for the people here, but around the world. And on behalf of the university, I want to thank you for taking time to be on our radio station. Personally, I'd like to say thank you very much. It's an honor to meet both of you, and looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better, and hopefully we can all be at the movie festival next year.
That would be fun. We'd like to do that.
Well, thank you very much again. Augie, it's an honor.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Drive up.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. This is, again, Michael Nolan, your host on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. This morning, I have a very, very, very important interview. So right now, go get your pencils and papers, especially if you're an American citizen. I am very honored to have the president of BNC Tax and Accounting, Cindy Duchateau/Ramirez. Did I say that correct?
You did, Mike.
Well, that's pretty good. I've got a chateau in the Swiss Alps, so I know how to say that word. Unlike La Cruz La Juana Coxley. Cindy has her own tax business, and as everybody knows, today is just a few days short of our federal tax deadline for United States citizens to file their 2017 income tax. Actually, the date is April 15th. But because of a special holiday in Washington, D.C., we have till the 17th. But Cindy told me, forget all about that, that if you haven't done them by the time you're listening to this, you're too late. Right, Cindy? Almost.
Well, almost.
Today's the 14th.
Today's the 14th. I would encourage you to get online and get your extensions filed.
That's right. Or go ahead, if you're real easy like me, just do the simple tax and get out of there.
Sure. If you've got a very simple return, you can go on to IRS.gov's website and fill it in. You select from a number of tax vendors that are approved by the IRS, such as H&R Block,
Tax Act.
There's a number of them. If you have a simple return, you're basically a retiree living here in Vallarta or anywhere in the world, you can, at no cost, file a tax return. As long as you have, say, Social Security and pension and no state. Very simple, fill in the blank and you're done.
Okay, which is what, maybe 1.1% of the world?
Oh, surprisingly might be a lot more than that.
Really?
There are a lot of people that is their income. They have their Social Security and they have one, maybe two, three pensions, maybe a little interest income and nothing else. And they left the states many years ago and don't have a tie to any states. So it's a pretty self-explanatory way to get your taxes filed. You can also file your extension going on IRS.gov if you need to file an extension.
Okay, you mentioned just a minute ago leaving the state. I lived in Texas for 10 years prior to moving here to Puerto Vallarta, 4 years ago, okay? But prior to that, I was from Oklahoma, and Texas does not have a state income tax.
Correct.
But Oklahoma does.
Correct.
Now, seeing I have a lot of roots in Oklahoma, for a lot of things like my credit cards and that, I use that as my permanent residency, my brother's actual address, okay? But I file my taxes from the state of Texas because I also have a financial advisor and my 401k and everything is through a company there. But I live here. Now, this is all hypothetical.
Sure.
Okay. I get to the point on my tax form after putting my name and my phone number and my Social Security and if I'm married or not and this, that, and the other. Then it comes and a little thing flashes up and says, do you live out of the country? And yes, I live there out of the country full time, but I was told several years ago by a good friend of mine who was an accountant that lives here, if you have a permanent tie into a state like Texas, like I do, an address there and financial advisor, I could go ahead and just put down that I live in Texas and not say that I live out of the country. I think that's probably the situation for a lot of people. Some of them live here full time, but yet we still have a house in the United States. And I said, this is hypothetical, but what should somebody do? Since I'm down here full-time, should I say, yes, I live in Mexico? Is there a pro or a con? Are my taxes higher because I live out of the country and don't take benefits? Like, I don't go to a local medical place, and I don't go to local this. I don't take advantage of the local citizens' libraries because I don't live in the state, actually. I live down here. Should I say that I live? I guess my question is, should I say I live in the state, or should I say I live in Mexico?
It's really a facts and circumstance test. There's probably as many circumstances as there are people here, and some of it depends on what state First of all, the federal government doesn't care where you live. If you're a U.S. citizen, under U.S. law, you are responsible for your federal taxes on your worldwide income. Unlike most countries, it does not matter where you reside. The United States considers that you owe taxes wherever you reside. You may have some foreign exclusions, but that's a little more complicated of a tax issue for this question. So the United States does not recognize dual citizenship, and they follow their citizens wherever they go. As far as the states, it really varies by state. As Mike mentioned, Texas has no state tax. There's, nine states that don't have state tax. So any of you from any of those states, Washington, Texas, Wyoming, Florida, there's a few others, that's out of play for you anyway. Those of you that came from another state, I came from California. California is probably the most difficult state in the United States to get away from. They have a list of 19 questions, and it's a facts or circumstances. It's not if you say yes or no to one question, you lose. They look at intent, and the intent is in most states based on a word called where is your abode, and abode is a very subjective thing. It's based on where your ties are and where your intent is. So if I own property in California and my medical insurance is in California, my driver's license, I vote there, I regularly go visit there, I have income coming in from California, I'm probably going to lose the argument that I'm not a resident of California or at least a part-time resident.
Okay.
So in that case, I would suggest you don't need to check a box that says I live outside the country. The U.S., and in this case California, could care less.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. There's no benefits or no negatives if you say I live in Mexico full-time versus I live in the United States full-time.
There are benefits if you are actually working in Mexico or any foreign country. You very well may be eligible for the foreign earned income exclusion, so you can deduct, you can exclude around $102,000 of your foreign earned income per year if you live outside of the United States, and that's earned income, not your pensions, not your interest, not your capital gains. It has to be either self-employment or employment income. So let's say you work for an airline in Puerto Vallarta that's a registered Mexican corporation, and they give you an equivalent of a W-2. In those types of circumstances, absolutely you would be eligible to exclude that income.
But if you don't work down here, it doesn't matter if you say you live in Texas or you say you live in Mexico.
Does not matter. Your taxes to the U.S. are exactly the same.
Okay. I kind of jumped ahead of myself, as I always do, unfortunately. I had told Cindy I was going to ask her to give a short bio, and so we're going to go back to that because I want you all to know the kind of professional that I'm dealing with today. Cindy is a certified tax accountant, I'm saying.
I'm actually what is called...
Tell me what you are, really.
Let me talk for a moment, Mike.
Okay.
So, as Mike said, my name is Cindy Duchateau. I'm the owner of BNC Tax and Accounting. My company has offices in San Francisco, Puerto Vallarta, and Amsterdam in the Netherlands. We specialize in U.S. expats. We also do many, many American citizens that live still in the United States, but we kind of grew into a niche market, one, because I live out of the country, and two, because there's 9 million people that live outside of the country, so the need is growing by the year, and because all U.S. citizens still have to file their tax return in the U.S., assuming that they have enough income. If you've got low income, you don't. Anyway, back to me. I'm what's called an enrolled agent, and what that means is that I am licensed directly by the Internal Revenue Service to prepare tax returns and to represent U.S. citizens in audits, which we, of course, try to avoid, but I am licensed directly by the IRS. I also am a degreed accountant. I have an accounting degree from Arizona State University, and I have been practicing taxes since about the year 2000.
So that just, those are great credentials. I mean, everybody knows here on the Good Morning Wake Up Show, I try and get really, really great professionals, and I landed one this time, didn't I, guys? Let me ask you one other question. No, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of other questions. We talked about saying you live in Mexico.
Correct.
I put that down, yes, I live, and give my foreign address and everything like that. Then I get a question come up and says something about your banking. If you have a bank account here or you have a signature over a foreign banking account.
Yes.
Do you have to fill out that information also? Is there a special form for that?
Yes. If you have a bank account anywhere outside of the United States, or, and this is really important, signature authority over a bank account outside.
What does that mean?
That means, the best example I can give you is you're the president of an HOA association in your condo building, and you are an authorized signer down there at Banorte. You now have put yourself in the position of having signature authority over a foreign bank account. It is very, very important that that is reported, not to the Internal Revenue Service, but to the U.S. Treasury Department. So there's a real subtle difference here. The FBAR, as we call it, which is the financial report of banks, bank accounts outside of the United States, is filed every year on April 15th to the U.S. Treasury. It is not part of your tax return. If you have one or more bank accounts outside of the United States, and those bank accounts have an aggregate balance of $10,000 or greater on any one day of the year, then it triggers the requirement to file the FBAR. In addition to that, if you have a filing requirement of a U.S. tax return, you also have to check on Schedule B, where you report your interest and dividends. At the very bottom of that form is a question that says, do you have a bank account outside of the United States? And if you, and then you say yes, and then the next question is, do you have a filing requirement, or does that bank account have a balance of greater than $10,000? And if it does, you say yes there, and that triggers the requirement for the FBAR. So you can have a situation where you need to file an FBAR because you have $10,000 or more in a foreign bank account, but you don't have a tax filing requirement because you only make Social Security. So if you're a single person living on only Social Security and you have income this year, 2018, it'll be under $12,000, you don't necessarily have to file a tax return, but you may still have to file an FBAR. You also may have a situation where you have a foreign bank account, but it only you keep it just to pay your CFE bill and your Telmex bill and your Telcel bill, and so it never reaches 10,000 U.S. dollars. And for those of you that like to think more in pesos, last year that was the equivalent of 197,000 pesos. So if you just keep that bank account and have spending money or money to pay your bills, you could still have the requirement on your tax return, so you have to check on the box on Schedule B that you have that bank account, but you don't have to file the FBAR because you didn't have $10,000.
Okay. So, well, we've got to take a break right now. We're going to do that, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more to Cindy and learn more about our 2017 and future income taxes. We'll be right back.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. As I mentioned, we're going to be dealing with income taxes for the next 15 minutes or more with Cindy Duchateau Ramirez. She is the owner of BNC Tax and Accounting. And as I mentioned that, do you mind if I give out your information, your contact information?
Please do.
Okay. I have two phone numbers here. One, it looks like it's California, 650-209-6000. 6662, a USA number. And then here in Mexico, 322-107-6206. Correct?
Correct.
And your email address, would you mind giving that out?
Yes, that is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at bnctax.com. And it's B like boy, N like Nancy, C like Charlie, tax, T-A-X.com. I'd also encourage you to visit our website, www.bnctax.com, or visit us on Facebook at bnctax.com. If you'd like to get a little more information about our services, who we are, what kind of things we do. And sometimes we write little blogs. We try to keep information current with the new tax laws and anything else that we think might be of interest to you.
Do you do that in any of the certain periodicals like the Vallarta Tribune or the Mirror? Or do you have your own blog that you keep on the internet, but do you help with any of the local publications where they can find out information?
No, I have not been doing that. I do speak. I have been speaking for the last 4 years at the Vallarta Real Estate Fair, which just happened in February or March, beginning of March. And I just spoke for International Living in Mexico City as both an expat in Vallarta and a U.S. tax preparer.
Well, you know, taxes are something that kind of scares everybody, but we all have to have an income, unless we're, you know, blessed with a silver spoon when we're born. And it's not difficult to do. I think it's getting simpler with the internet, because we have a lot of companies, like you mentioned, that are big corporations. They have hundreds of accountants working for them, and they make the forms as easy as they can over the internet. It's more just an opportunity to sit down and answer a bunch of questions, fill in the blanks. But if you're doing that, you have for some years, and some things change, say you inherit some money, something like that, it's probably better to have it run by a professional like yourself, correct?
Oh, I agree, particularly if you have any complexity in your return. One of the things that we see is while these fill-in-the-blank companies have tried to help simplify things, they also give people an opportunity to make large mistakes on their tax returns. Because you can manipulate the tax return by answering a question. For example, this is one we see all the time. If you own several rental properties, you can answer the question, are you a real estate professional? Yes. And what that will do is it will allow you to take all of your real estate losses that you weren't entitled to take because you really aren't a real estate professional and you had income too high to be allowed under tax law to take those losses. So when you get a letter from the IRS with a big bill, you will usually come to a tax professional and find out the mistake that you made. So while I encourage everyone with simple returns to take advantage of the free filing, I also encourage people with more complex returns to get professional advice before they try to go the do-it-yourself way.
Okay. You mentioned something a little while ago about the standard deductions. Now, I understand that's going to be going up, not this year, but next year. So it's going to, did you say, almost double? So if you're over, I think, is it the age of 65, you have to be 65, or is it anybody's a standard deduction going up next year?
Everybody.
Everybody. And is it basically doubling or going up?
Yes. It's almost double. The standard deduction for single has gone from, I think it was $6,350 in 2017, right around in there. It is now $12,000. And the married filing jointly was, I believe, $7,900, and it's gone to $24,000.
Okay.
So don't quote me on what the new ones are in stone. They're $12,000 single and $24,000 married. But what the takeaway was is they took away your personal exemption. So in the past, each of us got the combination of the standard deduction, if you couldn't itemize, plus the personal exemption, which is $4,000. So now you get the standard deduction at $12,000 or $24,000, but no personal exemption. Okay. So if you have a lot of children, that actually could be to your detriment.
Okay. But I have some children, but they're raised and grown, so
right.
I can't
dependent,
count them.
Dependent children.
Let's say I'm just somebody that's gathering Social Security, say let's say $24,000 a year Social Security, $2,000 a month, and I take out $50,000 a year out of my 401k to subsidize my income. Those are the only two sources of income you have, okay?
Okay.
And so that would add up to about $70,000.
Correct.
You're probably, you're going to have to pay taxes on Social Security, correct?
Not 100% of it. Social Security kicks in if your income, single, is over $25,000 a year, married over $32,000. So in your example, taking $50,000 out of your 401k, yes, your Social Security is going to be taxable. It maxes out at 85%.
Okay. All right. But you do have to claim that, and you also have to pay taxes. If you were like me and worked for many years and put money into a 401k, and now you're taking that money out to live on, you have to pay taxes now.
Correct.
But it's probably a little bit less of a rate because you probably don't have as high of income as you did when you were working.
That was the theory when we were all encouraged to contribute to our 401k, is that we would be taking it out at a lower tax rate than it went in at. So in your example, that's probably correct. So you're going to pay taxes on the $50,000, 85% of your Social Security, and then you're going to get either a $12,000 or $24,000 deduction for standard deduction, and then you're going to pay tax on the remainder.
Okay. Itemization, we're talking about the standard deductions. You can itemize, but if you don't give a lot of money to a charity and you don't have a house that has a mortgage or anything, is it just better to take the standard deduction?
Correct.
Okay. I'm about out of those, but I'm sure there's other things you need to talk to us about. So would you please kind of hit the highlights that you think everybody needs to know?
Well, I think
the most common questions that are asked to you, I know that's a hard question.
I'm not sure if there's anything common, really. We see a lot of different situations. We get a lot of people that have not filed their taxes in many years and all of a sudden start reading something on the internet about the United States cracking down on U.S. citizens living abroad. If you haven't filed your taxes in several years, there are programs that the IRS is offering, the Streamline program, that allows you to file your returns for the past 3 years and your FBARs for the past 6 years, and then you basically got a get out of jail free pass from the IRS. So that's one option. We seem to get a lot of questions to try to clarify the confusion and some of the things Mike was mentioning earlier about, I'm living abroad now, so what's going to happen with my taxes? There's a lot of misinformation out there in the world about what happens when you leave the United States. I addressed some of that earlier, but I'd also like to just reiterate that just because you left the United States does not change anything when it comes to your tax requirements. They're the same whether you live abroad or whether you live in the United States. There may be one extra bonus, and that would be the foreign earned income exclusion. But what I want to point out is that the biggest misinformation I see, and one of the biggest questions that we get, and it's usually more comment than a question, and it's something that goes like, well, I left the country, so I no longer have to file my taxes. And that is absolutely not true. If you did not have a filing requirement when you lived in the United States because your income was under the threshold, this year it'll be under $12,000 single, under $24,000 married, then you are absolutely correct. If that is not the case, all of the people that told you, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your boss, your friend down the street, that told you once you leave the United States you don't have to file your tax return, that is not true. And we get a lot of clients that come in because they've gotten their mail from the United States. They haven't had their mail in 4 months, and inside that mail is 17 letters from the IRS. And the final letter that they have says, we are about to seize your bank account. So it really is important to know what your requirements are, and we are more than happy to consult with you, to take questions. You can call us, you can email us, and we will hopefully steer you in the right direction.
Well, this is probably it could be the most complicated subject we've ever covered. because I guess the Internal Revenue Service of the United States has rules and regulations, and it's probably in the hundreds of thousands of pages.
88 right now.
88,000 pages. And Cindy's actually memorized every single one of them. But she memorized a third, her husband memorized a third, and her daughter memorized a third.
Sometimes we feel that way.
You feel that way. The best thing to do, and the main reason I wanted to have Cindy on the show, is to let you know there is a great professional that lives here in the Bay of Banderas area, and she is very willing to help you. BNC Tax and Accounting does a lot of things. Now, you do accounting things also for people year-round.
Yes.
So if you have a small business here and you don't know much, you can do the accounting and maybe help with the payroll or something like that.
If it's a U.S. company.
Okay.
If it is a Mexican company, we do work with a number of Mexican accountants and Mexican tax attorneys here, and we're more than happy to provide referrals. We also have, for those Canadians listening, we also have a couple of Canadian tax preparers that we work with, and we're more than happy to refer you to them.
All right. Well, Cindy, in closing, is there anything, one golden rule that you want to make sure everybody knows?
I think the golden rule is to make sure that you follow the U.S. law, and this is also a good time to remind everybody that it is April 14th, and your extensions are due on April 17th if you haven't gotten your return filed. If you live outside of the country and you're working outside of the country, you do get an automatic extension to June 15th. If you don't think you can get your return in by June 15th, then it's just as important to file the extension now, which gives you an extension all the way to October 15th. But the most important thing, again, is to understand what your requirements are. Don't be in denial or rely on bad information or misinformation, because the IRS will eventually track you down.
Let me ask you this. For the last 3 or 4 years, I say I pay $5,000 every year on my income, whatever. Should I make quarterly payments, or should I just not make payments? Then when I do my taxes at the end of the year, I say, oh, $5,000, pay the $5,000. There's usually a penalty. There is a penalty if you don't make quarterly payments. But what
quarterly is quarterly payments, or I don't. If you have income coming in from Social Security or pensions, I encourage you to have those payors withhold the money from your checks.
Okay.
And then you don't have to worry about estimated payments. If you're self-employed, you have to pay your estimated taxes because there is no employer that can withhold from your taxes, and you also have to pay your Social Security and Medicare taxes. So,
okay. So that's a good idea to have Social Security take your taxes out?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And if you don't, you pay $100 or something penalty? Because I did that a couple years
ago. Yeah, it depends. On how much and how late.
Everything. There's a million different variables.
Correct.
So, and every case is different.
Every case is different.
So the main thing is to contact Cindy at BNC Tax and Accounting. And again, her phone number in the States is 650-209-6662. Or here in beautiful Bay of Banderas, 322-107-6206. And it's Cindy at bnctax.com. Correct?
Correct. And I recommend email. I'm not always sitting at my phone, and sometimes it will take me. I try to get back with everyone within 24 hours. So if you can email me, that would be the preferred method of contacting me. I also would appreciate it if you could give a little summary of your question, because everyone pretty much has a, I just have a quick question. Not always turns out to be a quick question, but we are more than happy to answer any questions you have.
And be brief and to the point. We don't need a documentary on everything you have. You can talk to Cindy about that later. Cindy, I want to say thank you very, very much for taking your time. I look forward to working with you in the future. Have you back on the show next year, maybe earlier in March. We kind of have a problem because the university always takes a couple weeks off because of the Easter Semana Santa vacation, which is 2 weeks. We'll have you on before the break next year, if you don't mind.
That sounds great.
Try and get more people connected to you.
Yeah, and also, you know, even October, November is a good idea because people often need to have some planning done so that they can optimize their situation before December 31st. So sometimes it makes sense to pay certain expenses in 2018 or push them into 2019. So that's another area that we can help any of you with that you want to try to optimize or minimize your taxes.
Well, I want to say thank you very much once again. Like I said, you're probably the most heated subject I can deal with, but yet you're an expert and people should feel 100% confident in you and BNC Tax.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. We're going to take another break. We'll be back for more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a little bit. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
And welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I want to say thank you once again for listening today. I have a very interesting young lady here on my show this morning, Laurie Wheeler. First of all, Laurie, thank you very much for taking the time to come be on the show.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me. This is a great opportunity, and really looking forward to sharing some information about what it is I do.
As you know, as everybody should know, we have a medical college here at the University of Guadalajara, and we try and get word out about all the new advances that we do here at the university as far as medicine goes. But I like outreach. There are so many great people here in the Bay of Banderas that do a lot of things different than just traditional medicine. And Laurie is one of those people. Laurie, I met several months ago, and she is a homeopathic, holistic medicine
practitioner.
I hope I said all that. If I didn't say it right, then Laurie will. But Laurie, first of all, please give us a short bio of yourself, how you got down here to the Bay and Banderas. I'm sure you worked somewhere in the States or Canada before that. If you don't mind, just give us all a quick bio, and we'll talk about what you do down here in the Bay of Banderas and how you help everybody.
Sure. Thanks, Michael. So I've been a practitioner for over 20 years, and I think I've been saying that for the last 5 years now. I am from the States, the Boston area, and I have a practice actually all over the U.S. and in Canada. Because I can treat people through the phone or Skype. And my husband and I just felt it was time for a change of pace. And we just decided, we had been in Mexico many times, although not the Vallarta area, but it's a beautiful place and it's a very healing place. And so I was drawn to this area. I came down here only about 9 months ago, and I find that it has been just the best thing I've ever done. I love it here, and I'm looking forward to continue helping people, whether you be tourist or whether you live here, Mexican or whomever. I enjoy just working with people.
Well, you mentioned you work all over the United States and Canada, but your office here in the Bay of Banderas area is in Bucyrias.
Yes.
And do you mind giving out exactly where your location is? Up front, we can give out contact information, and then we'll talk all about what you do, how you help people here, and then we'll, once again, at the end of the interview, give out the contact information again. I'm kind of stalling to give people an opportunity to get their pencil and paper and write down everything, because I tell everybody at the first of the show, get your pencil and paper out, because we're going to have a lot of great information, and you're going to have to write it down, so... Laurie, if you'll please give out that information, then we'll get into exactly what the homeopathic healing is.
Sure, Michael, thanks. So the actual address is Lazaro Cardenas 64, and it's Bucyrias Centro. And we are actually, I am upstairs in the Art Camino, in right behind Panino's on the beach side. And probably about, maybe a couple blocks in from the Kissing Bridge. So I'm pretty easy to find. You look for Panino's, I'm upstairs.
You're on the south side of the Bucyrias area.
Yes, yes.
The very, very nice area as far as I'm concerned. A lot of beautiful homes and condos and art galleries and things like that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the types of healing that you do. I know homeopathic healing is pretty vast. And there's quite a few different things that you do, how you can help people. What kind of people come to you? I mean, what are their problems? Why would someone come to you versus a medical doctor or a dentist or something like that?
Okay, so multi-questions in that.
Oh, yes, there always is on my show.
I always find that people make their way to homeopathy because it's not really well understood by most people, but it's been around for a very long time, and it's proven that it works. We find we get people into homeopathy that have tried many other things, whether it be going to the doctor or surgery or whatever, even some complementary medicines, and not finding much help. And so making their way either through a referral or searching the internet. It is a medicine that works with many different types of imbalances. We don't treat the name of a disease. A homeopath will treat based on symptoms, symptomology. So if somebody said, for example, they were having a stabbing pain in their back, the initial two-hour intake, I will ask many questions. I may elicit somewhere in the intake that someone felt that also they were in their job or personal agenda, that they were stabbed in the back by a friend or colleague. And so there you have the mind and you have the body, and it matches. And that's what we look for, where we can find something of a thread throughout the case taking. And then we match it up with something that is taken from plant, mineral, animal, but it is not a substance. It's then made into a high-level potency medicine, and so it'll match, and it'll begin. It's the catalyst to create the healing process. So that is homeopathic medicine in the nutshell.
So you talked about medicines, but it's not a pharmaceutical company concocted bunch of chemicals thrown together. It's all naturalistic things.
Completely natural. And no, you don't get it at the pharmacy. You have to receive it either from a homeopath, which would be the best. But there are some places here that if you were to cut yourself or bruise yourself, people can go and find it in stores, maybe even in the grocery store. Many people are familiar with arnica, and we find many physicians using arnica these days, which is a good thing.
Hey, you mentioned pain. Say someone's had a problem when they play golf and they've hurt themselves and they've gone to chiropractor, they've gone to orthopedic surgeon, they've gone to this, massage, they're doing stretching, Pilates, things like that. What other types of symptoms besides pain?
Well, pain is kind of relative. As far as the homeopath is concerned, we want to understand more about the pain. What does the sensation feel like? It's about the experience. Does the pain radiate? When does it hurt? How does it hurt? What makes it better? What makes it worse? Does the cold or the heat? There are many questions to be asked to find homeopathic medicine that matches as close as possible. And then the healing will begin when we match it as close as possible.
Okay. Now, what other types of healing we talked about that you do?
Well, I'm involved in quite a few different modalities, and I've accumulated them over my years in practice.
What is a modality?
A modality is different types of healing practice.
Okay, different methods.
Yes, methods, yes.
Okay.
So I use something called gemotherapy, which is a form of homeopathy, but very low dosing. And it's used for drainage, cell drainage, and also used for cell regeneration. Also, I have in my office something called a Rife machine, and it's Rife therapy, which actually uses frequencies of energy to eradicate bacteria, virus, parasites, fungus, and it is based on what's going on in what part of the body, and then there are cylinders or plates that you would hold or put on a certain part of the body that then sends signal to that particular microorganism, and it destroys the microorganism. Much the way if you were singing at an extremely high octave and you could shatter glass. So it works a little bit on that principle, but it's really a wonderful way to treat people also. And then I do work in flower essences, the Bach and Australian bush essences, and I use supplements. I use immunity builders like GCMAF, which is a great immunity builder, and such. So I have my great tool belt when somebody comes in and they tell me what's going on. Then my mind begins to think, how can I help this person?
Well, as anybody that is listening knows and has listened for the last 10 minutes, it's not wait an hour and a half or 2 hours after your appointment time. Come sit down. Stick out your tongue. We're going to take your temperature. We're going to take your blood pressure. And that's a traditional doctor type thing.
Sure.
That we're all familiar with and have been familiar with kids, since we were kids. This is very, very different. And we're going to have to take a break right now. I want to come back in just a couple minutes. And I want you to kind of talk about the intricacies of your specialties, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We're going to continue our conversation this morning with Laurie Wheeler about homeopathic medicine and holistic healing. Right before the break, we were talking, I gave a short synopsis of the traditional medical practices that we've all been through since we were little kids. This is very different. It's kind of like acupuncture is, in a way. It's not, hey, I have a pain, we're going to take some medicine as painkillers. This is, you know, an acupuncture is we're going to stick some needles into certain parts of your body, and it's going to relieve the pain. Chiropractors, there are several different kinds of chiropractor methods, and when I went to one many years ago for some real bad neck pains that I had, he started knocking around on my ankles and on my calves and on the back of my arms. And I thought, what is that having to do with my neck? Well, he knew what he was doing. I didn't, but after a while I fell in a lot better. And so what you do, this type of medicine is different than what normal people, or not normal people, let me take it back, what we normally understand. And it is very, very helpful. I've heard some very, very positive things about this. It's a different approach, but it is a proven approach. And over the years, I'm sure you've helped many, many people. And tell us a little bit more about the things, the different types. You talked about flower. I can't remember exactly what you said.
Gemotherapy, Rife therapy, flower.
Tell us, do you mind going into those a little bit more in detail?
Sure, sure. I'd like to begin by just saying that all the medicine or modalities that I work with, they are all holistic. And what I mean by holistic is it doesn't just target one problem. It targets the whole person. You cannot treat someone separating the mind from the body because we're a whole being. And so when you're treating, say, the problem of the back, there is also a mental and an emotional state to that person. Doesn't necessarily mean that's what created the problem for the person, although many times we realize the stresses or traumas within a person's life do create. But if you were in a car accident, now what is your experience at all the levels of you as a whole individual? So it's very individually based medicine. And that's why you can't do it in 5 or 10 minutes, because I need to understand who you are as a whole person. So again, gemotherapy is used for drainage and also cell regeneration. Maybe you have eczema, and so it is really great for that kind of a problem. And I may use that in conjunction with a good homeopathic prescription remedy.
When you're saying drainage, are you actually taking a fluid out of the body?
No. A drainage means it's releasing from the system.
Okay.
So maybe you have varicose veins. Maybe you suffer headaches. And so what the holistic medicine that I work with, I'm concerned with going to what's called the root of the problem. And that's why I don't base my medicine on the name of a disease, because many people suffer from chronic fibromyalgia or illnesses with a name, but homeopathy and holistic medicine wants to understand where is the root of the situation coming from. So somebody says they started with a pain in their back, my first question would be, tell me all about what the pain feels like and when did it begin and what was going on at that time. And a lot of times we don't even know what was going on, so the mind has to be triggered for recall back to a time. And if you may not know, then through more questioning we can uncover the information. I work with people of all ages, young children, women who are pregnant, average age people, and the elderly people. And it's different for everyone because young children may not be able to explain completely, but I can ask them the right questions.
Well, you have many, many years of experience, and that's the great thing about having such people like yourself here in the Bay of Banderas. It is a great place to live. It is a little bit more relaxed. People, I think, come down here, and somehow, if it's just not the sea breeze or the beautiful weather, their minds are opened a little bit. People are a little bit more relaxed. And if you're relaxed, you're kind of open to trying new things. And although this would be a very new type of medicine to a lot of people, many, many people have been going to physicians such as yourself for many, many years and have been very, very helpful in a lot of ways. We're about out of time. Please cover some other things that you want to talk about that I haven't asked you, and kind of wrap all this up the next 5-10 minutes if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. So I would like to let folks know that I offer a free 20-minute consult. They can call and set an appointment for that, just so that you can see if this is something that would be of interest to you. You can connect and get to know me a little bit on the phone, and I can hear what's going on for you and let you know how I might address the issues. So that gives a little bit of time without paying money.
And what is the phone number while we're here at it?
Sure. Well, I have two phone numbers. The Mexican number is 322-197-2581, and my U.S. number is 207-251-1802.
Okay.
Something else, Michael, if I can just mention really quickly here.
Please, take your time.
I have been involved in what I call spirit and energy medicine for a very long time, too, and I won't go into a lot of detail because someone can give a call and find out more information on that. But I do many times, if the person is interested, I like to integrate either some past life regression. I also work in soul retrieval and shamanic journey work, and I've been studied in that for many years. So that's something that we could talk a little further or maybe do another program.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. I mean, just touch the, you know, everything that I talk to when I talk to special people, unless it's an event happening next Thursday at 6 o'clock, we just get to touch the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
And we could be here, and you could probably have your own weekly show for years and not ever get through everything. Go ahead and touch on those things, and then people will be able to know how to contact you. They'll be able to know where you are, and then they'll be able to get on their road or their journey of healing with you in the future. But go ahead, those three things you just talked about. We've got a little bit of time. Tell me a little bit more about those. Those are intriguing sounding. They sound intriguing.
Yeah, they are intriguing. And everybody can do it.
The past life stuff.
The past life regression is just a bit like hypnosis, and it's fairly easy. It's just walking the person very quietly into a deeper place within themselves where they have a memory of what we call another time within their structure of who they are as a whole being. And it is, I won't go into much detail, but it elicits much information, and it's really a great tool. I like to use it. Soul retrieval is also just that. It is, we are a whole soul, and many times through trauma, a portion of our soul can be fractured and go somewhere else. And so through my work, through quiet, deep introspection, I can go and find and retrieve that missing part and have it come back to the rest of the soul to create more of a whole soul. Being who you are is what is most important. And then shamanic journey work. Here, even in Mexico, there are many shamans, and it is not uncommon that people are familiar with shamans, but a shaman is an indigenous person to their area, and they are all over the world and alive and well today. And they know that what is important is seeing in the unseen realms. And what that means is going into a deep place through the sound of drumming and some other instrumental sounds, which are very ancient and connect to the heartbeat. You will go into what we call lucid dreaming. It's sort of like as you're just starting to wake up out of sleep. Well, it's a certain rhythm of with and patterning in the brain waves, and it will allow you to go into this place set up by your intention before you begin. So knowing where you want to go and what you want to achieve. And that's what I do. I help somebody achieve that and help you understand through intention. So I'll ask you some questions, and then I help you work that through and then take you to the place. So it can be in a group or it could be individualized.
Well, this is very, very interesting. As I said before, we can only touch the tip of the iceberg. But people can contact you, Laurie Wheeler. That's W-H-E-E-L-E-R.
Yes.
And again, the U.S. phone numbers, if you don't mind giving those out. And a website, they can go to and learn more about yourself and maybe your practice? If you don't mind giving that back out, and then we'll conclude.
Okay, so the number, Mexican number, is 322-197-2581, and my U.S. is 207-251-1802. My website is www.wellnesswithin.net.
Laurie, once again, I want to say thank you very much for taking the time to come be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, the things you talk about are very, very interesting, and I think it would be fun to do a follow-up interview in a couple of months and go a little bit more down into the soul searching and the past lives, soul retrieval parts of this. That sounds really, really like it could be a whole show in itself.
It probably could be.
Well, again, thank you, Laurie, very much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio. Today, I'm down at the Plaza Lázaro Cárdenas. Is that correct, Nat?
Lázaro Cárdenas.
Lázaro Cárdenas. I'm going to learn to say that word one of these days.
One of these days.
The name. It's actually a name. I'm here with my old best friend. You have your new best friend, but I have an old best friend. Nat, she's in charge of the project down here that we're completely renovating and bringing the plaza back to life with her tile project. I'm on here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about the project. Nat, tell us what's going on.
Hola, Michael. Well, we're going to tile up the whole park, just as I said last time.
Like you said, but we're actually here now, and you actually have people working with here. They're doing workshop, and they're in the last phase of workshops for this year. They're going to start back up in October, you said.
In November.
But in November.
Yeah, we're doing 3-day workshops, and people are just hands-on the project, and we're moving on.
Well, I want to say it's looking fabulous. It's incredible. I've had a lot of comments from people. And thank you again for taking your time and all your energy to do this project to beautify Puerto Vallarta in the Bay.
It's my pleasure, really. I love it.
Well, I'll be talking to you back in October and more about what the summer workshops and what they'll be able to do next year, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thanks for stopping by, Michael.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Do you mind giving me your name?
My name is Nancy Page.
And Nancy Page, you're actually doing one of the poles here in the plaza. You're doing a mosaic tile, right?
Yes.
And you came up with your design.
Yeah, well, I did some of the design.
You have a team, right?
But Tammy was the master. Tammy, who owns Nacho Daddy, is the master of this Frida Kahlo design.
Well, I love Frida Kahlo because I was born the day Frida Kahlo died.
Oh,
July 13th, 1954, the day I was born, she died. So I don't know if we passed. I'm sorry, you own Nacho Daddy's?
Me and my friend Sean.
And I've been there many, many times. The Boutique Theater up above, we've had quite a few of their people on.
Yeah,
and
nice.
So you decided to give back to the Bay of Banderas by putting a pole here in the plaza.
Yes, and we love Frida, and so we have to put our Frida pole up to give her the recognition she needs here in Vallarta.
And you're right on one of the corners, so everybody will know it. And it looks really beautiful. I mean, it's got a peacock, it's got Frida, it's got a heart with an arrow through it.
Yep, that's it. All Frida stuff.
So you decided to get into this. How? Did you know Natalie before?
I know Natalie. Have her work. Always admire Natasha. Her
Natasha,
beautiful work.
Natasha's
beautiful work. And we got in on it.
Well, we appreciate you doing that and help beautify Puerto Vallarta and the Bay of Banderas, especially this plaza. You came up with the design yourself?
The three of us did.
Well, I just, for my radio show, I wanted to come down and actually talk to some of the people that were participating in the workshops. You've had a lot of fun?
Yep. Oh, wonderful. Oh, yes. It's a fun time.
And it's educational. I'm kind of taking these people away from the work, so we got to kind of be brief. But I do want to say thank you and kind of get any input. Would you encourage other people here in the Bay to get involved in the project?
Oh, yes. You do this, and it'll be here forever. It's beautiful. You get to leave your mark on Vallarta.
Well, Nacho Daddy's, you've kind of put a mark on Vallarta anyway.
We do some of the great food.
And I think I saw you at the Chili Cook-Off.
She's
at the festival every year. She's one of my competitors.
Yes.
Well, I'm the horse that comes in first in the third race, but I ran in the second race. So I'm kind of like an also-ran. But anyway, I appreciate you all doing that. It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And thanks for doing part of the project.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, we're talking to some more of the participants. Do you mind me telling your name?
Margot.
And Margot, how did you get involved in doing this tile project here at the Bay of Banderas in the plaza?
I came down here to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I saw their little stand there, and I happened to love mosaicing. And I talked to Nancy, and she hooked me up. I paid the cost to do the class, and they schedule it, and here I am.
And it's going to be something that's your mark on Vallarta for a lifetime.
That's right.
Well, that's great.
And you got immortalized on a column.
And what is the symbolic of your design?
It's a mermaid and some fish. So it's, there's a lot of mermaids out there in the bay. I don't know if everybody knows that, but there are many out there.
Well, I've seen one or two. And there's some up here doing the tile work today.
That's right.
Where are you from?
Originally California.
California.
Yep.
Well, I just want to say thank you. Like I said, I've been talking about this project on my radio show for the last year and a half. And Ned and I have been good friends for a while, and all the projects you've done around the Puerto Vallarta sign, the big letters that she's done. But it's fun to come down here and talk to some of the people that are actually involved in the project and doing the work.
It's such a great project. It's so fantastic. It's so great to be part of it.
And it's going to be a really beautiful addition to this part of town.
It sure is. Yep.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake-Up Show here in just a couple of minutes. Like I said, I want to encourage everybody to be involved in the project down here at the plaza. It's going to be really, really beautiful when it's done. And I want to say thank you very much to Nat for doing all of her hard work. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show.
Well, it was great to be down there on the plaza seeing all the really great work that's been done by so many of the tourists and people that live here in the Bay of Banderas. They're really making that a beautiful, beautiful plaza. And thank to Nat and all of her group and the workshops. They're finalizing those up right now, but they're going to be going full guns starting the 1st of October. You'll be able to go down and pick out a bench or put some tiles on the plaza itself for a short or a little bit of amount of money. It's all going for the scenic beauty of Puerto Vallarta and the Bay of Banderas. So go down there and join that project. It's a lot of fun. I want to say thank you very much to all my guests on the show today. Remember, if you're an American citizen, you need to file your income taxes on Tuesday. We get it's usually the 15th, which is tomorrow, but because there's a holiday in Washington, D.C., for some reason, on Monday, you get till Tuesday by midnight. So be sure to file them. I think at this time, electric filing is the only way. But anyway, I want to say thank you very much for listening in. Be sure that remember that next Saturday is Science Saturday here at the university. Bring all your kids up here to learn all about drones. And if you're a drone person and want to know more, the history of them, how they're utilized around the world, come on up. It's pretty good science for adults also. And that starts at 10 o'clock here in the main auditorium. Also, don't forget that every Wednesday and Friday we're showing videos and movies up here in the university. We also still have about 8 or 9 of the sculptures that were left over from the International Sculpture Forum back in November. They're still on campus, haven't been moved yet, so you can always come and enjoy those. And remember the Peter Gray Museum we have here on campus, beautiful, beautiful art. And so be sure to come here and get involved in what's going on here at the university. You can do so by contacting me at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. If you have any comments about the show or want to be on it, if you're involved in any of the charities that are going to be in the Altruism Festival, please contact me again. And we'll get you on the show and let you get the word out to everybody about your organization, your nonprofit, your charity. Again, it's 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. And if you want to go to the university website, please do so at www.cuc.udg.mx. Once again, I want to thank Hector for all of his help, being the production engineer today. As always, appreciate it very much. And I want to say thank you for listening in. please tune in next Saturday at 9 a.m. We're going to have some more fun interviews all about the Altruism Festival and everything else that's going on here at the Bay of Banderas and what's happening here at the University of Guadalajara here in Puerto Vallarta. I want to say thank you again for listening in, and we'll be back next Saturday with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Have a great week.
FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista!